I invite you to be finding Matthew 13 this morning. We'll begin there at verse 1 in just a moment. Matthew chapter 13 will be our text for our message this morning. Last night I had the honor of officiating the wedding ceremony for Eric Gilbert and the former Brittany McDonald. Brittany is the daughter of Amber McDonald, the granddaughter of Roy and Sharon McCoy. So we congratulate that happy couple, wish them well, and congratulate both families. When Franklin D. Roosevelt was president, he found himself almost on a daily basis meeting and greeting scores of people. They would just kind of file by and they would exchange pleasantries as they shook the president's hand. As he did this day after day, he began to notice something. People weren't listening to what he was saying. Maybe they were nervous, maybe they were distracted, maybe they were thinking about what they were going to say, but whatever he said, they didn't really hear it. And so one day he decided to have a little fun. He was at another function and people were filing by meeting him, and first person to him, he shook the man's hand and he said, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." And the man just smiled and said, "Oh, President Roosevelt, it's such an honor to meet you. That's so great." Moved on. Next person shook his hand, and President Roosevelt said, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." "Oh, that's great to hear. You're doing such a good job. Keep up the good work." And on and on and on. And finally, about 10 people deep, there was a foreign diplomat that got to him, and they shook hands, and President Roosevelt said, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." He said the man's eyes got kind of big and he thought for a while, and then finally he spoke up and said, "Well, I'm sure she had it coming, sir." Here in Matthew 13, Jesus is knee deep in his teaching ministry and he's begun to notice something. People aren't listening. Oh, they're hearing the words that come out of his mouth. They know he's talking. But what he is saying is not really truly being heard. Maybe they were distracted. Maybe they were nervous. He was saying some different things that had ever been taught before. So maybe they were thinking about their argument or their rebuttal and what they were going to say. Maybe they labeled him as dangerous and a change agent and they just decided, "I'm not listening to anything he says." But they weren't really listening. And concerning that subject, he gave a parable, and we find that parable in Matthew 13. Verse 1 beginning, "That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. And then he began to tell them many things in parables, saying, 'A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear.'" Then Jesus, for a few verses, goes into the issue of parables and why he speaks in parables. That's a great lesson, but it's a lesson for another day. But then in verse 18 here in chapter 13, we get a real treat. Jesus comes back and interprets his own parable. He tells his disciples and he tells us what the parable of the sower means. And here's what it is. Verse 18, Jesus continues to talk. He says, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. There was a man that got a hearing aid, and he was a boy with a new toy, of course, so he was all excited about it, and he was telling a friend about all the features of this little technological wonder. And after he had finished, his friend said, "Well, what kind is it?" And the man with the new hearing aid looked at his watch and said, 6 o'clock. Well, maybe you don't hear quite as well as you think either. Let's let Jesus give us a little hearing aid from this passage. Jesus is going to share with us three qualities of good listeners. And let me just say that we'll apply this message mostly to hearing the word of God, and that's where the major interpretation belongs, but these principles also apply everywhere. These principles will help you at work. These principles will help you in school. These principles will help you in your marriage and in your parenting and in your friendships and in your family. They work everywhere. Three qualities of good listeners. Number one, good listeners are prepared listeners. There was a preacher who lived in a parsonage, a house provided by the church, and the house where he lived was right next to the church building. And he started bragging that all of the time it took for him to prepare a sermon was the time it took to walk across the yard from his house to the church building. Well, after hearing several of his sermons, the church bought him a new house 10 miles away from the building. God expects the preacher to be prepared when he steps into the pulpit. And God expects the listener to be prepared when he or she sits down on the pew. God expects teachers to be prepared when they come to the podium, and he expects students to be prepared when they sit down in the seat to study and to learn. If preaching and teaching is not changing your life for the better, it might be that you are not preparing yourself to hear it. I think about Noah's preaching. Noah preached for decades, and the New Testament says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. There was nothing wrong with Noah's preaching. And he preached for decade after decade after decade after decade as he built that ark. And outside of his family, he had exactly zero responses. Nobody. What was the problem? Well, it wasn't Noah's preaching. The problem was Genesis 6 says that in Noah's day, every thought and every intention of the heart of man was only evil continuously. Noah's preaching led to really no good because the people's hearts weren't prepared to hear it. Jesus says that seed grows when it falls on good soil, good ground, and good ground is prepared ground. And of course, the analogy is that God's word grows in a heart that is prepared to receive it. How do you prepare your heart? Well, you can plow it up to soften it. The problem with that first soil, the soil along the path, is it's been packed down. People walk across it and they pack it down and it gets hard and the seed can't penetrate it. So it just sits on top of the ground until the birds come and get it and carry it away, and it never grows. Sometimes we come to worship with a heart so hard, God's word can't penetrate it. And so it just kind of sits on the top of our mind until other thoughts and other concerns come. And then the word that we heard is carried away. Maybe pride that hardens our heart. We might say, or at least think, with Pharaoh in the book of Exodus, who is God that I should obey his voice? Now, we don't say it just like that. We wouldn't be that bold or that brash. But we come to worship or we go to Bible study and we say, you know what? I know what I'm doing. And I know what I'm supposed to be doing. And I've got this. And I really don't need to hear anything else from God or anybody. So our heart's hard and we don't take anything away from the message because we don't bring a bucket to put it in. Maybe it's complacency that hardens our heart. We've been at this a long time. And we begin to believe we've heard everything that there is to hear. We know everything that there is to know. There is no more hill to climb when it comes to our spiritual lives. We don't hear the message. We don't take anything away because we don't expect to. And so we need to plow our hearts before we hear the word of God and soften it up and remind ourselves that we do need God's leading and we do need his guidance. And there's more for us to learn and there's more ways for us to grow. It may be that we need to pluck weeds or thorns before we hear the word of God. Sometimes we don't benefit from hearing God's word because there are other interests that kind of crowd out the word. These interests might not be bad things. You know, it may be a job or a hobby or friendship or even family. And they're not bad things. They're good things. But too much thought on those things can crowd out the word of God. And anything that crowds out the word of God in my life needs to be reduced, even if it's a good thing. Jesus said, whoever loves father or mother or son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He's not saying hate your family. He's saying don't let even your family crowd out your relationship with me. A good listener, then, is a prepared listener. Before every worship and every Bible study, we take time to plow up and soften our hearts. We remind ourselves that there is something here for me, and we can use that Jerry Barberism of, let me just take a mustard seed. From this class or from this sermon, there will at least be a mustard seed that I can carry out of here. I'm looking for that. Something that applies to me. I'm looking for it, and I'm going to take it out of here and apply it today. Good listeners are prepared listeners. Number two, good listeners are personal listeners. Personal listeners. Rodney told us, I think, just a couple of weeks ago about a man that went into a psychiatrist's office. His shirt was on backwards. He had a piece of bacon wrapped around his head, and he had an owl under his arm. And he sat down there on the couch, and the psychiatrist said, how can I help you? And the man said, I'm here to talk about my brother. It is so easy for us to come to worship and think only about our brother. I sure hope my wife is hearing this because, man, she needs this one. I sure hope my neighbor down the pew is listening to this sermon because he needs this one. And our community needs this. And I wish the whole nation could hear this because they need this. And I never get around to the real business of listening, which is, I need to hear this. I want to encourage you when it comes to Bible study to be selfish. Now, normally I wouldn't stand up here and say, be selfish, but I'm going to say it concerning Bible study. When it comes to Bible study, when it comes to receiving, hearing the Word of God, put yourself first and others second. Listen first for you. It is the me first principle of Bible study. When you approach a passage of Scripture, ask number one, what did this mean to the original audience? The audience who heard it or read it originally. What did it mean to them? That's question number one. And question number two is, what does this mean to me? And after I've given those two questions serious consideration and study and thought and prayer, then I'm ready to start looking out to you and thinking about how this might apply to you. Mark chapter 14, we see the disciples applying this me first principle. Jesus is initiating the Lord's Supper with them. And during the supper, he looks around and he says, one of you is going to betray me. And Mark says that each one of the disciples said to Jesus, "Is it me?" And when I hear a word from Jesus, my first thought has to be, "Is it me? What is here for me? What am I supposed to learn? What am I supposed to do?" Good listeners are personal listeners. They apply the word to themselves and their personal lives first. And then number three and finally, good listeners are participating listeners. The fate of any spoken word rests solidly and soundly on the reaction of the hearers. It can be the best message ever uttered in the history of the world. And if the hearers don't receive it and work to understand it and go to work to apply it, then the result is really nothing. There's no effect. Good listening makes good preaching. Poor listeners have rarely ever heard a good sermon. We all need to do our part in preaching and teaching. What can we do? Well, let me mention a couple of things. Number one, you can give good feedback during the sermon. Such a blessing for a speaker to look out and see friendly, smiling faces and bright eyes, attentiveness, to hear pages turning or people finding the scriptures on their phone. It's such a blessing when that happens. I can remember one of my preaching professors at Fried Hardeman, and he had that unfortunate job of hearing practice sermons at the end of the semester, and he had to hear about 30 of them in a row, and I guarantee you that's hard. But he told about once a student was preaching his practice sermon, and of course the preacher, the professor was supposed to be listening to give a response, and the preacher fell asleep. The professor fell asleep. And the student was so offended, and he said, "Now, I wanted to get your opinion of my sermon, and you fell asleep." And he said, "Son, falling asleep is an opinion." But, you know, we give that good feedback during the message, and that just is like saying to that preacher, like saying, "Sick them to a dog." It feels so good. And then give feedback after the sermon, and this is even more important. Give feedback after the sermon. Sermons are not simply designed to take 20 minutes out of your day. They are designed to change your mind and to motivate you to take some sort of action. And so good listeners hear with the intention of learning and doing. Learning and doing. Jesus said, "Blessed is the man who hears these words of mine and does them," at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Margaret Provost writes in Today's Christian Woman about her 3-year-old granddaughter. Her name's Beverly. Beverly was playing one Saturday in the living room, and Mom was doing laundry and wanted to get it all done on that Saturday. And she looked at little Beverly and noticed that her shirt was dirty. It had a big stain on it. And so Beverly was busy playing, but Mom said, "Beverly, I need you to bring me that shirt so I can wash it and go get another shirt." And Beverly just went right on playing, never looked up. And Mom said again, "Beverly, I need you to bring me that shirt and go get another one. I want to wash it." Still nothing. Finally, Mom shouted out, "Beverly, Elizabeth, Provost, did you hear me?" And that little 3-year-old looked at her and said, "Well, yes, Mama, my ears heard you, but my legs didn't." Being a good listener means that you hear it and it gets all the way down to your legs. I mean, you hear the message and you say, "Okay, now I'm making my plan to use these legs and walk out of here and put this message into action and into practice." Each time that you hear the word of God, resolve to be like Samuel in 1 Samuel 3:10. Every time you sit down to hear a sermon or a Bible class, say with Samuel, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." His thoughts were slow, his words were few, and never formed to glisten. But he was a joy to God and friends. You should have heard him listen. Ananias said to the apostle Paul, he was just Saul at that time, but Ananias said to Saul, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Now that was a message that Saul, when he turned Paul, was going to take to the whole world and apply to everybody. But you know what Saul did first? He applied it to himself. He heard Ananias say that. He knew Ananias was speaking for God. And so Paul arose and he was baptized and he allowed God through faith in Jesus to wash away his sins. He applied it to himself first. And as we close and extend this invitation, I hope you will think about you. Have you followed the simple command that Ananias gave to Saul? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Not your wife, not your children, not your community, not your nation, not your world. Have you done that? And if not, I hope you'll be a personal listener and that you'll hear that and it'll get in your ears and all the way down to your legs and you'll let us know that you're ready to put on Christ in baptism and have your sins washed away. Would you come as together we stand and as we sing?